But I want to say that I'm very thankful tonight for the young people that are endeavoring to live for the Lord.
Yes.
I appreciate you knowing in the world that we live in, the challenges that are before us. I pray for you every day.
Thank the Lord.
Appreciate you. Your example and your desire to want to follow the Lord and walk in truth. And you're very valued and very important to the church.
Yes.
And to God.
Yes.
Appreciate youth. While you can still remember things and still grasp things, it's a good time to get as much as the Lord that you can get. This week I've been dealing with some things that I feel are essential for us to be successful in our walk with the Lord. I have one more tonight that I'd like to probably finish that part of my burden with. The one that I want to talk about tonight is found in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Thank you, brother. Matthew 16 and 24. It's a very familiar scripture. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The cross. The dreaded cross. It is essential for you and I to take up the cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There is something in each and every one of us that naturally resists the cross. And the sacrifice or sacrifices that life sometimes asks of us as we go along life's way. But Jesus says plainly here, if any man will follow me, come after me, follow me, let him take up his cross. Now that means that each and every one of us have our cross.
Yes.
My cross isn't your cross, and your cross isn't my cross. But God in His wisdom knows how to fit each and every one of us with the cross that will help us be successful to make heaven our home. He knows what it's going to take for every one of us. So He says, if you want to be my follower, there's a lot of people that claim to be good friends with Jesus. But He didn't say, if you want to be my good friend. He said, if you want to be my follower. If you want to come after me, you've got some denying of self to do and take up this cross and follow me. To deny yourself means that you deny number one and you make Him number one in your life. He is to be number one. And he doesn't do very good with you trying to take him and someone else and make them both number one. He wants to be the number one in each and every one of our lives. So, tonight I have something a little different. I want to challenge you this evening with some questions. I have questions. I don't want you to answer them. I just want you to think about what we're going to present tonight by the help of the Lord. In order to look at the cross, I want us to look at the cross through the eyes of Mary. You know Mary, mother of Jesus? I'd like to look at the cross through her eyes for a little bit. I want to give you something to consider, to think about. In order to do that, let's begin in Luke, the first chapter. And the 26th verse. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Wonder what it was that God found, that Mary found favor in God's sight, that persuaded God to choose her. I'm sure there was a lot of young women in the world, but there was something about Mary that persuaded God to choose her to bear his son into the world. And he said unto her, Thou art highly favored. And then he said to her, For thou hast found favor with God. I doubt very seriously if it was her looks, the reason why that he chose her. We don't know anything about her looks. We don't know what kind of hair she had. We don't know how tall she was or how short she was. We don't even know really what kind of personality that she had. But we do know that God looks on the inward parts when we look on the outward, don't we?
Yes.
So that's where God was looking when he found Mary. And her physical makeup didn't really have anything to do, didn't even come into play with this. But she was still highly favored, because God knew where to look and he knew who to choose that would be faithful to bring his son into the world. Now, you and I say and talk about a lot, we trust the Lord. Trusting God is good. It's the right thing to do. He's got a good track record. He's been faithful for all down through time, and we trust the Lord. Tonight, I want us to consider this thought. Can the Lord trust you?
Help us, Lord.
Can the Lord trust us? I remember a couple falls ago, one of my sister-in-laws had passed away. And I was talking to one of her side of the family, middle-aged couple, and they were, for some reason, wanting to impress me that they had, that they were living for the Lord and they loved the Lord. And one of the women said that, well, I accepted the Lord in my life such and such a time years ago. And I said, you know, that's really wonderful. I'm really glad to hear that. But I want to tell you what I think is more important. And that's whether He has accepted you. We can say we've accepted Him, but it's more important to know that He has accepted me.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul said we are accepted in the Beloved, didn't he? We want to be accepted of the Lord. Mary was highly favored. She found favor with God Almighty. And so God had a special mission for her. He had a special work for her. Now let's look at something else about Mary. In the second chapter of Luke, when Simeon was holding the baby and talking to Mary and Joseph, and he said in verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Remember when Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus and he sent Ananias to go pray for him? He told him, he said, I've told him the things that he must suffer for my sake. The cross is a way of suffering, isn't it? It's suffering. You got to be willing to take up your cross, deny this number one, and make God, Jesus, number one in your life. So it's a lot easier said than done. But the Lord wants us to find that place in our hearts and in our lives. So I'm thinking tonight about Mary and the cross. And I ask myself the question, why was she chosen? And because I know the end of this story, I believe she was chosen because God could trust her. Not just in the good times, but in the hard times. In the hard times. When people began to look at her a little funny and a little strange. And when she had to experience things that where the sword pierced through her heart. It was prophesied to her, right to her face, from Simeon. He said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." I suppose, I'm not a mother, I'm a father. But I suppose there's no love any greater, familial love or a natural love in the flesh than the love that a mother has for a child. I've found that I've got two boys and two girls and they're all, most of them in their 40s, and I've found the girls kind of favor father and the boys kind of favor daddy. How'd I say that? The girls favor daddy, the boys favor mama. Didn't say that right. But I've noticed that. So Mary was chosen to have a son. And I believe it was because God knew He could trust her. And before we're finished tonight, if you don't remember anything else, you're going to remember, can God trust me? Can God trust me? You know, most of us can do pretty good when times are good. When everything is going well, when we have blessings and prosperity and no real struggles with our life, we can do pretty good in those kind of times, can't we? Lord, you can trust me. I'm going to be faithful. But He knew He could trust her with trouble. and trouble she had. Let's consider some of that. Throughout her life, after she had her son, her heart was pierced through and through, again and again. And yet, God could trust her to be faithful, to stay where she was and not change. He was able to trust her. When you and I have been selected or chosen by God, it's for the long haul, isn't it?
Yeah.
He that endureth to the end. It's not just for one event in our life. And say, well, Lord, I was successful, I got through that, and I still have the victory, so I'm ready to go home. No, that's not the way it works. The Lord has chosen you and I for the long haul. The cross. What kept Him on the cross? Was it the nails? No, it wasn't the nails, was it? No, it was the joy that was set before Him. The glory, I'm sorry, that was set before Him. To know that if He was faithful to stay on the cross, that you and I could have this great salvation that we have tonight. Well, what's going to keep you on the cross? Through the hard times. Through the difficult times. Can He trust you? And when I say this, I'm talking about me too. Can He trust us? I'll say it that way. To go through changes in this life and still not change. Still be what we were when He found us and when He saved us. You can count on one thing for sure in this world, there will be changes. I know my life, myself, I've changed a lot down over the years. What I liked and what I disliked, it's changed. As far as food and this and that and everything else, pretty much, changes in life. Can He trust you to face changes and still not change? You understand what I mean? And still be faithful. Can He trust you to relocate and not move? Can He trust you to be founded on the rock of Jesus Christ? Can He trust you to get into situations that you don't understand, things that seem to be over your head, and kind of change your whole outlook or change your whole life, and still you don't change? He trusted Mary that way.
Yes.
Can He trust you to be altered and never be different? Some things to think about tonight. The cross. Mary was about to embark on a journey into the very purpose of her life. And it would cost her everything. That's what Simeon told her. A sword will pierce through your soul. And it will cost her everything. If you're going to find God's way for you, if you're going to fulfill His will and purpose in your life, the journey may well pierce your soul. As well as it did Mary's. So the question that I have tonight, can God trust us? Our world's changing. It's getting more evil, more wicked, more spirits, more deception to challenge you and I. Can He trust us not to change? Can He trust us to continue to believe what we believed and what we were taught, as Paul said? The things that we were taught as a child to continue into those things? Can He trust us as the world changes, as our families changes, as our society changes? Can He trust you and I not to change? But that we'll be faithful? Can He trust us? Can he count on us to deliver for him, even though our heart is pierced in the process? Some of you know what I'm talking about because your heart's been pierced a time or two. Can he trust us? Can he trust us? Lord, I trust you. And I'm thankful. We should trust him. But I really want us to consider tonight, isn't it really important that he can trust us? Can he trust us with the Word of God? Can he trust us with his Holy Spirit? Can he trust us with his greatest blessings that he has for mankind? Can he trust us with his Son? Valid questions. We need to carefully consider. Lord, maybe I haven't been quite as faithful as I should have been. Maybe I've doubted somewhere down along the way, Lord. I'm sorry. Because I want to be one of those that you can trust. We're kings and priests. I understand that. And he said, many are called though, but few are chosen. And those that are chosen, folks, he wants to be able to trust us with the hard places in life. Because life has a lot of those hard places.
Yes.
I think Mary proved that God's trust in her hadn't been misplaced. I believe she proved that he picked the right woman to do the job that he wanted her to do. Can he trust you with misunderstandings? You know, Mary, I'm sure, probably began to show in her pregnancy, and she wasn't married. And you know how people love to talk. You know how people love to accuse. Look at her. You know, Joseph even considered privately putting her away, didn't he?
Amen.
Can the Lord trust you to be misunderstood as you continue to do His will and be faithful in it? He trusted Mary when the whispers and the sneers of the people around her were going on the side saying, do you see Mary? She looks like she's going to have a child. She's not even married. She walked through her adversities and she delivered in the midst of the misunderstanding. She didn't fight for herself.
No.
She didn't argue anything to prove that it was a holy thing. Folks, God does never, God never needs to be defended. Mary was faithful through it all. When he calls for you and I to do something that people don't understand, the Bible says you can count on it that he has started a good work in you that he'll finish. Jesus Christ was the most misunderstood person on ever come on the earth. They didn't understand him. The Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, they didn't understand him. He was misunderstood. Even the disciples, as they walked with him and were taught by him, they didn't understand him many times. They thought he was going to set up a kingdom here. You know, they're going to make him a king and we're going to put him on the throne and he's going to reign and rule here. That's not what Jesus came for. And he had to teach them. And he had to explain some things to them, didn't he? Can you imagine what it took for God to trust Jesus? Jesus had the greatest mission of all and God trusted him. And Jesus was faithful. Can we be faithful? The Bible tells us that He's our example. So we've got to look to Him. But I'm talking about Mary for a little bit tonight. I want to tell you this. If God's called you, if God's chosen you, you're highly favored.
Amen.
Quite a thought, isn't it? You're highly favored by God. We don't need the favoritism of men. We don't need to be lifted up by men, but if you've been called by God, it's because you're highly favored. And He sees something in you that He wants to use to glorify Him.
Amen.
And that's exactly what Mary was called for, to glorify God. But He had to be able to trust her, folks. He had to be able to trust her. And she was faithful. If you or I are going to do anything in life, you can't spend all of your time trying to get everybody to understand what you're doing. Remember that. If God has something for you and I to do, you cannot be spending all your time trying to get by everybody to understand why you're doing what you're doing. If you do something for God and it is ordained by the Spirit of God, He will bless you and anoint you, and the people will know that God has His hand and approval on what you are doing. Are you willing to forego what people might say about you to produce the cross in your life? Are you willing to endure misunderstanding? Well, you know, people love to say, I just don't understand why they did that. And I'm not saying that every time somebody does something that they did it right or they did it in the will of the Lord. But I'm talking about us that are highly favored tonight. Us that have been called. Us that are endeavoring to be faithful to the place where God can trust us.
Yes.
And what He has called and chosen us to do. Can He trust you to hide the treasure? You say, hide the treasure. Yeah. Can He trust you to keep a secret? Can He do something wonderful in your life, knowing that you won't flaunt it? Mary kind of hid the treasure for a while, didn't she? Until it was God's timing for the Son to be born. But how about you and I? Can He give you an ability? Can He give you a gift? Knowing that you will not flaunt it or rush to put it on display so everybody can see what God has done in your life. You know, it's not so much ability that God's even looking for, it's availability. He was looking for a young lady to be available.
Yes.
That He could trust. Because she had quite a job, folks. She had quite a job to do. She had a mission for the Lord. And I believe she was faithful. The thing that happened to Mary was new. Never happened before. There'd never been a time when the Holy Ghost had come down and spawned a child in a woman's womb. It was all new. There will be things in our lives, our young people, that are facing the life ahead of them. And even some of us that have time left, there will be things that new that we will face and not understand.
That's right.
And folks, that's not a call to go around and talk about it and worry about it, but it's a call to prayer and call God and talk to Him and ask Him for direction and guidance. And Lord, help me to always stay humble that You can trust me with this.
Right.
You can trust me with this. Mary took Jesus to Egypt to escape Herod's death warrant, didn't she? The enemy's after you and I too tonight.
Yeah.
He's after you and I too. He's after your hopes. He's after your dreams. Jesus said He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He wants to destroy us. As just as He wanted to destroy Jesus when He was just a little baby. Can He trust you tonight to go through separation?
Help us, Lord.
separation. Remember when they took him in to Jerusalem and then they were leaving and they was, what, a day or 2 days journey away and found out he wasn't there? So they went back looking for Jesus and they found him in the temple. Remember that? Mary then began to learn that she was going to give her son to the people. She began to realize the purpose that he had come into this world for, and that she wasn't going to be able to have him, her little baby boy, like a normal mother would. And that he was going to be taken from her because he had a mission and a purpose and a work to do in this life. Okay, you and I may not always be able to maintain a relationship with the things that we love, or people that we love, or things that we are attached to. We may be separated from those things. Are we willing to do that for God's glory? Remember Hannah? She prayed for a son and she said, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you.
Yes. Amen.
Can we do that? Can we take something precious that God has trusted us with and God says, I want you to give it back to me like He did Abraham and his son Isaac? Can He trust us that in those hard and difficult places, say, Lord, you don't know how much I love this little child. You don't know how much I want this little child. Can He trust us to do His will and use us to glorify and honor Him?
Help us, Lord.
Can He trust us for Him to do something special in our life and then give it all back to Him? And say, Lord, to You belongs the glory.
Yes.
To You belongs the honor. It's really all about the cross. Jesus, the suffering of the cross. Can He trust you and I to wait for the right timing of things? Remember at the wedding in Cana when they ran out of wine? And Mary said to him, to Jesus, said, they need wine, they need wine. And He said, woman, what? How do you say that? What have I to do with you? My hour has not come. It wasn't time. But can He trust us? Mary just turned from Him and said to them, whatever He saith, that's what you need to do.
Amen.
Whatever He says, that's what you need. Folks, if we could get ourselves to that place where He is so number one in our lives, that whatever He says, whatever He tells us to do, whatever direction that He gives us in life, we can say, whatever He says, do it.
Amen.
Boy, that'd keep us out of a lot of problems. It'd keep us out of a lot of troubles if we just do it. Do what we know we're supposed to do. See, we don't always understand God's timing. Sometimes we think we know God needs to do this and you need to do it now, Lord. If you don't do it now, the time's going to pass and it'll be too late. You need to do it now. What about Lazarus? Martha and Mary sent the word, said, Lazarus, he's dying. You need to come and pray for him. You need to come and heal him. And he didn't come. His timing wasn't really good for Martha and Mary, was it? Can we still trust Him? And can He trust us just to stay right where we're planted? Right where He has us? Can He trust us to trust Him? He's always on time. When He finally got there 2 days later, Lazarus was in the grave. And Martha and Mary both, they took turns, went out and met Him on the road. And their question, or message to Him was, if You'd have been here, Lord, if You'd have been here, my brother had not died. Can we trust Him? Can He trust us to trust Him? that His timing is right. That He will always do the right thing. He knew what His purpose was. He knew what He was going to do. He knew why Lazarus had died. Because He lifted up His eyes and said in prayer at the grave there, He said, this happened that you would be glorified, that these people would see the power of God. Maybe He wants to use you and I that others can see God in us. But we're going to have to stay in our place. We might be moved, but He doesn't want us to move. He wants us to stay in the place that He can get the glory out of our life. There was a man in the Old Testament, a king, that got in trouble because he couldn't wait on God's timing. Samuel said, you go over there and you prepare, and when I get there, we'll offer a sacrifice. And then you can go out to battle. But he couldn't wait. He couldn't do the will of the Lord, see. Sometimes we want to get, Lord, you're just not moving fast enough. I got to get this thing done. The enemy's right there. Oh, I tell you, folks, I've learned to really appreciate Mary. I've learned to really appreciate her faithfulness and how God was able to trust her with what He had given her to do. Can He trust you and I tonight with rejection? Nobody likes to be rejected. But do you remember when the disciples went and told Jesus when He was in a crowded room? It's in Matthew, the 12th chapter and the 48th verse. That they told Him, Jesus, that His mother and His brother were out there. Remember that? Jesus didn't run out there, did He? He turned around and He said, these are my mothers and my brother. His mission was all about us. It was all about people. It was all about souls. And so here's His own mother sitting out there calling for Him, and He didn't come. Can He trust you and I with rejection? I'm going to tell you, you and I aren't always going to get the answer that you want from God. God's not always going to say yes and give you what you always want. People will not always respond to your ministry the way you'd like them to. There's nobody that can be any more cruel than people. They don't always respond the way you would like them to. Can you be trusted to remain faithful? When you've been anointed and many prayers have been prayed and you're still not healed, can He trust you? Or are you going to take matters in your own hands? Something to think about, isn't it? If the crisis doesn't go away and God says no, can He still trust you? Can you still praise Him? Even though you're still in the midst of the battle? Even though you still have your affliction? The prayers have been prayed, been anointed 5 or 6 times. Some of you remember Sister Karen LaCroix was a minister among us. Had a huge, and I mean a huge tumor. She was anointed and prayed for many times. She was only 50 years old. The Lord didn't see fit to heal her. But He took her on home. But I want to tell you, her life touched many people before she left here. Hospice was amazed at the peace that she had. They were amazed at the patience that she seemed to possess through it all. The trust that she had in God. Had it all in His hands. Got called out there many times to anoint and pray for her day and night. But she still trusted God. and she was still faithful. If the crisis doesn't go away, can he still trust you? I appreciate the faithfulness of the saints, folks. Those that are willing to trust God even unto death. Now, can he trust you with death? Mary watched her son hang from a wretched cross, didn't she? She watched everything that she had labored for, fought for, and built her life around. She watched him die on a cross. She was there. She was there. Can he trust you with death? That's a hard one. Can he trust you through the death of your dreams? Some things that you have built your life around? Things that you have hoped for? Can God take it all away and still trust you? What's that song say? Take the dearest thing to me, if that's the way that it must be. How's the rest of that go? Do you remember? Help me draw. Is that the way it is? Can't remember now. It's not coming to me. Can we say that tonight? Lord, take it. It's yours. How many mothers and fathers have looked down on their little babies, little children that are so sick, fevers of 105, and say, Lord, I thank you for the time that I've had them. If you want them, they're yours. Can he trust us? Those are hard places. I understand that. Mary went through some hard places too. She watched all of her hopes and dreams hang on a cross, give his life for everybody else. That's my son. What do you do when God breaks your heart? You ever had your heart broken?
Yeah.
What do we do? Can you say, who was it, Job? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him? You see, Mary at the time, I don't believe, that she understood that God was reconciling the world back to himself when she watched her son hang on a cross. But in 3 days, he would rise again. She was at the cross trusting a God that she did not understand.
Yes, amen.
She didn't understand. You and I understand tonight. We know the whole story. But she was at the cross trusting a God. The cross. Her whole life was a cross, folks.
Yes.
Her whole life was a cross.
Yes.
She made God number one.
Amen.
And was willing to go through it all. But remember, she was highly favored.
Yes.
She was highly favored. She, when God's purpose brings pain in your life, can you say, God, you can still count on me? You can count on me, Lord. Counted on Cain. How was that? Counted on Paul. Counted on Jonah. He was the same. Something like that. You know the song. Can he still trust us? Can he count on us?
Help us, Lord.
You know, people say, I prayed with a lot of young men at the altar, and I've talked to a lot of them, and they get a little scared about getting consecrated to the Lord, giving their life to the Lord. I'm afraid God will call me to preach. Folks, I got news for you tonight. There's other ways that God can get glory out of a life than preaching. You know C.W. Naylor? Anybody know that name? C.W. Naylor had an accident, and 50 years he laid in bed, could not get up because of a broken back. And he wrote Heart Talks. He wrote many of the songs in our book. He blessed and glorified God. God could trust him. He didn't give up on him. Didn't turn his back on him. We may have to glorify God from our bedside, folks. Can God trust us? Can he trust you with disappointment? Life full of disappointments. After Jesus' death, Mary, she walked away from Golgotha, but she didn't walk away from God. She didn't walk away from God. The Bible tells us that she was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And everyone that was in that upper room was filled with the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't a new experience for Mary. She'd been filled with the Holy Ghost before.
Yes.
Hadn't she? God could trust her through all these things, folks. She experienced the piercings. And in essence, she says, I still love you, God. Thy will be done. We have to get to that place where Jesus got on Calvary. Thy will be done. It's called the cross. Mary's life was a replica of the cross. I'd like to look at another scripture now. Talk about a different character. In the 21st chapter of John, Fifteenth verse. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Peter, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Do you know tonight, there's a lot of people that are good friends with Jesus. But he said, if any man follow after me. If we want to be followers, we've got to have great love for him. What is the quality? If you had to estimate the quality of your love. What kind of quality of love do you have for God? He asked him three times, probably because he denied him three times. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Does he know we love him tonight? Can he trust us in the difficulties of life? In the hard places? Can he trust us? He wants to be able to trust us, folks.
Yes.
But the decision's in our hands, isn't it? We make choices in life. We have a will. It all comes down to you and I and what we're willing to do. You know, Jesus here was presenting the love test to Peter. Peter said, if everybody else fails and leaves you, I'll go with you even unto death. That's what Peter said. And then he denied him.
Yes, amen.
The service test is to obey. The love test is to make Christ number one in your life. I remind you of the Jesus hanging on the cross, about to expire. And the thief reached out to him. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Let me tell you what Jesus didn't do. Jesus didn't take him down from the cross, folks. He didn't take him down from the cross. He left him on the cross. He didn't even remove the cross. But instead, he lifted his spirit and offered him the peace of paradise.
Amen.
That's what he offers us tonight. That's what we have to look forward to if we'll be faithful. Can God trust us to be faithful like Mary was? Paul mentioned something in his writing. He said, I want to know Him and the fellowship of His suffering. I want to know Him. I want to know the fellowship. I love Him so much. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. And I want to endure that cross that He endured for me. Lord, help us tonight. How much do we love Him? How much are we willing to stay on that cross? Can He trust you? Can He allow things to come in your life that would be hard and difficult for you, and you'll stay faithful? Mary did. Mary did. She was highly favored. You and I were highly favored too. It's a blessing to know that God has put His approval on our lives, upon our hearts, upon our spirits, and we're highly favored. We've found favor with God tonight. So just some things that I would like for you to consider, if you can even remember them after service is over. But folks, there's things that God is looking for His people in these times that we live in. They are hard, difficult times. We know that. In our press, in our busy cares of life, take heed, Jesus said, that you be not over, hearts be not overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Can He trust us to be an example of the believer, to be faithful with what He has given us, these gifts that are so precious? You pray for me, I want to be faithful. Yeah. May God bless every one of you tonight. Yeah.